Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When he's not part of the Browns Radio Network, he's doing all kinds of other things. He's a man about town. He's Mr. Tyvus Powell. Hello, Tyvus.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
We are well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I found out today that the Browns are playing at 4:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, what's that do for you?
That means that I won't be making my trip up to Cleveland to see you guys personally, but I will still be talking to y'all.
All right, good.
All right, good for you.
Glad to know that.
Hey, that's a win on your part.
I'll miss you, though.
Well, you'll be missed greatly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll talk to you guys all the time.
All right, that's terrific. So we've had a day to let what happened yesterday sink in. And I think yesterday is just kind of a culmination, a continuing culmination of what's been a lousy season. Have you had any different thoughts since I last saw you yesterday about where this is and where this needs to go?
No, because we all know where it is. Where it needs to go is the question. You know, there's so many different examples of how you could try to fix this thing that I'm curious to know which one is the right one. Like, is it one of those situations where you feel like you need to overhaul everybody and you just need a whole new start? Is it just a quarterback away? Is that just the problem? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the offensive coaching staff? Is it a couple of players away? Like, it's those type of things that make this whole thing so frustrating, because I don't know the answer. You know, is there many guys that you could point to right now and say, you know what, they playing some really good football right now? No, you can't. No. So, like, does that mean that we need a whole new roster? Like, is that where we are? So I'm just curious to find out where they want to go from here.
Well, Tyvus, you played defense throughout your career, a little corner, a little safety, all that kind of good stuff. When you look at the Browns' defense, do you think that they've taken a half step back this year, or is this just a corollary with bad offense?
No, they took a step back for sure. I mean, you can't look at this team and not say, and look at what they were last year and not think that they didn't take a step back. I think that going into this season, they had a lot of false hope. You know, you looked at some of the things that they were doing last year and you thought that it was concrete. And I think what you're finding out is it really wasn't. Like, a lot of the times last year, they won games, you know, by 3 or less points. And in any given season, you can be on the opposite end of that, where the Browns last year found themselves on the right end. And obviously they won a lot of games that way. Then when you look at the fact that, you know, the quarterbacks, when they went up against a good quarterback, you know, the defense wasn't the same. And that's why I wasn't a fan of them just completely running it back, because I didn't think that they had arrived. I thought that they were getting there, but I didn't think that they truly were there, because of the simple fact that when they went up against a good quarterback, he exposed a lot of what the defense had going. So I think that that needs to truly be addressed this offseason. But the problem is, when you look at the salary cap, I don't know what you can and cannot do. You know, that's such a frustrating topic to get on, because you don't know how much room they got, how much money they got to spend, who they can afford, like those things. So that's what they got to figure that part out. They got to figure out who the coaching staff is going to be before they can even move forward.
Tyvus Powell joining us. Throughout your career, you were exposed to a lot of different coaches and a lot of different teams, and I think it's a really interesting career that you had for that reason. In your experience, what does continuity mean compared to change, looking for the right guy? You know, and I'm wondering, I like continuity, but I think you got to have continuity with the right guys. And you've seen different teams. How does that play in your experience?
Yeah, I think that if it's just about trying to have the same guys for the sake of doing that, that's not going to work. You know, it's got to be a coach that people believe in, that you're seeing results out of and things like that. If that's not the case, then there's no point in, you know, keeping the same guy in there if he's not getting the things done. This is a results-based job. You know, you get paid off of the results. And if you're not getting those results, you have to make that change. So it's going to be interesting. Now, obviously, it's come out that Kevin is safe. and AB is safe. And I know a lot of fans are really questioning the AB one because of the draft picks and all those things. But they got to, he has to, with this draft, if they're going to run it back with him, he has to make sure that he hits and gets some very good concrete pieces because, you know, if, even if they're not going to be good for the next couple of seasons, you still, I think Jimmy still wants to have a good product on the field by the time the dome comes around in 29. And whoever you draft in this draft, would it be 25? Yeah, that guy will most likely still be here when that dome is around. And he better be a piece that's something that can help set your franchise up for the future. Whether that's a playmaker, whether that's an offensive lineman, it better be somebody that's a stud. So they have to be very careful with how they choose to go with this pick. If it is the number three pick, they better make sure that that guy is the guy.
Boy, Tyvus, if you're going to turn around and try to sell to a fan base, hey, our goal is to make sure we're rolling by the time we get the dome. Oy, that's going to make for a really ugly post-game show on Sunday. Or Saturday.
You know,
nobody, I mean, that's the thing, man. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody listening to this right now is sitting there going, boy, I hope we have it together by the time we get the dome. Or if they are saying that, it's got so much sarcasm dripping on it that it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, when you look at where we are right now, it's not too much you can really do. You know, the only way that this thing can really get fixed is if Deshaun Watson comes back in 2 years and he is really that good. Like, that would save a lot. But, like, outside of that, if you still need a quarterback and your offensive line has gotten old, you only got one playmaker on offense, the defense is not what they once was, you got a DN and thinking about asking for a trade, you got a corner that's a concussion away from retiring. Like, like you got a linebacker that we don't even know if he's going to play again. Like, look at that. It's just so much that you got to try to fix and you got to worry about. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how you fix it right away. Like, I don't think there's an immediate answer. Like, I don't think no matter what they do this season, I'm not expecting them to just turn around and be like the Commanders this year where they go from 3-13 or whatever they finish, 4-4, whatever they finish as a then boom, next year become just a playoff team. Like, I'm not expecting that to be the case. I expect them to get better, obviously, but I'm not expecting them to go on the Super Bowl run next year. And if I don't think any fans should feel that way.
And that's tough, especially you look at the division right now. You know, Cincinnati, though T. Higgins is a free agent, they seem to have plenty of talent there.
I think they should find a way to pay him.
I would agree with you on that.
I agree.
Pittsburgh has found a quarterback, it would appear, and if not, then they probably are going to keep Justin Fields, so they're going to have a quarterback, and Baltimore keeps winning. I mean, there's a long way to go to even be competitive in the division, Tyvus, and that's... That you could make the argument, well, because of that, you should, you know, have continuity. Or you could make the argument, well, because of that, you should make some changes. Because if you go into next season with everything the same, everybody's on a short leash. And I just think it's a really tough position for the entire franchise to be in. And they're such critical decisions this offseason for the future of this team.
Another thing that's very critical is, let's say you do decide to fall in love with one of these quarterbacks and you do draft him. Are you comfortable with him coming in and learning between Kevin and Ken? I don't even think those two are on the same page of what the type of style of offense they want to call. So you're going to bring in a rookie quarterback and have him learn two different offenses? Like that's the part that's weird to me. Like, with Ken specializing, Ken's offense looked completely different than Kevin's offense, but you're going to bring a quarterback in, so which offense are you going to roll with? Is it Ken's offense or is it Kevin's offense? See, like, I don't want to confuse a player right off the jump. So I think that's a decision that you got to make right there. What type of team are we going to be as far as an offense goes?
That's a hell of a question, my friend. That's a hell of a question.
Yeah. See, that's the bad thing about...
I wanted to go up...
That's what this season has left us doing, though. I mean, guys, there's just so much out there on this team. I mean, you can't even look at Myles Garrett now and say, well, you know, you got Myles, and that's your rock solid there. I mean, I don't know where you can look on this team and think that right now. And guys, that's dangerous. This thing could go anywhere.
Yeah, and it's sad because of where they were just 1 year ago. That's what makes it so hard. Man. Just 1 year ago, this was a playoff team, and they seemed like they figured out a lot of things. And here we are. Here we are, right back to where we were like 3 years ago. You know, you think about the times that they said, like, Joe Thomas sacrificed his whole career so they can get Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett. You know, they went 1-15 and 0-16. They sacrificed them 2 seasons of a Pro Bowl of a Hall of Famer to get those things done. And now when you look at it, it's like, was it even worth it? Because now here we are again, right back to square one. So, like, the whole sacrifice wasn't even really worth it.
Tyvis Powell, Browns Radio Network, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Buckeye, former NFL secondary player as well. All right, Tyvis, so I'm going to put you in the Browns' shoes right here, okay? Convince Joel Bitonio why he should come back next year.
Convince Joel Bitonio why he should come back next year. Well, I think that I would tell him, Joel, just the thing. We've experienced some success here. Obviously, the getting Deshaun Watson to turn his salary into sign a bonus has gotten us some cap room here, so we're going to be able to make some moves. I don't know how great of a move it's going to be, but we're going to be able to make some changes to this team. So what I think we should do is we're going to, one, figure out, I think we're not going to have Ken back. I think we're going to, you know, get us a new play caller in there, somebody that fits, you know, the Kevin Stefanski type offense, the stuff that he wants to do. You know, I'm going to get a guy in there that specializes in it, that runs it, that knows it like the back of his hand. Secondly, if we don't decide to draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, then we go get a quarterback like a Kirk Cousins or something like that. You know, a guy that, you know, Kirk's been in this system before. It's not like he's the best thing, but you know what? He's able to win us some games. You know, make this thing look like an actual offense. I think a lot of people would agree with that statement. Then I would tell him, with that being said, that's going to make this offense look better. We got to figure out the run game situation, because I think that's the key thing to getting this offense going, is once we get that run game going again. So we're going to get us a running back in the second or third round, something like that. You know, to get a young guy in there. We got Jerry Jeudy, we got Njoku, fix the run game, fix the play calling. And I think that should be, and if that defense finds a way to get back to what they were 2 years ago, that should at least get you close to the playoffs, if not in the playoffs. I think that you could sell that to Joel Bitonio, and I think he could look at that and be like, you know what, that could work. He could work with that.
A lot of ifs and buts in there, my friend.
Just saying. It's the best I got right now.
That's a better sell than what I would have had.
I can't argue with you. Tyvis, thanks, buddy.
See y'all later. I'll talk to y'all Saturday.
I can't wait.
Absolutely. Go enjoy the Rose Bowl, my friend. We got a big boy college football game for your Bucks.
Yeah, it's only a big game because the Buckeyes are there. Buckeyes by two scores. You heard it here first.
Wow. Ooh. All right. Okay.
If that offense hums the way that it hummed against Tennessee, I don't doubt it.
Well, due to the fact that they lost to them before, I think they got some motivation. So that should be what we see.
Let's hope so for your sake and all Ohio State fans' sake. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Josh, see y'all Saturday.
Tyvis Powell, Mike McDaniel's team still with a chance to make the playoffs. We'll see about that. Denver sitting the prettiest of the three teams. Bengals the other.
I know we don't do sports talk in Miami, but it continues to baffle me. How do you build an offense that hums with Tua Tagovailoa as quarterback, and yet any other human being steps in there and attempts to play quarterback, and it just looks clunky and dreadful?
That means you have a good quarterback.
And
is it better,
that simple?
And you better find another one. But what could it possibly be?
I don't know. Like, it's almost like they built a car that is specific for one person to drive and one person only.
Well, that kind of happens.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it's just one of the most bizarre things in football.
Well, there's a reason that starting quarterbacks are starting quarterbacks, and they make offenses click, right? No? I don't mean to be trite about it. To me, it's pretty simple. Tua's a lot better than Tyler Huntley and anybody else they've thrown out there.
I'm
not buying any Skylar Thompson stock.
There's a response that I would like to say to you right now, but it would get me pulled into a meeting, and we don't want to do that. But just let it be known, it's typically followed by a literary detective.
Huh. Okay. I'm just stating a fact.
I'm aware.
Why does their offense look better with Tua? Because he's better than everybody else.
Well, no, Sherlock. Like,
then why even ask?
But like, it's just bizarre that they can't go out and get a backup quarterback that can even execute it at 90% of the level of Tua Tagovailoa. Like, that they can't go out and, for lack of, just to pull somebody out of the sky, they can't go out and grab Jimmy Garoppolo. They can't go out there and grab Carson Wentz. They can't go out there and grab one of those guys to be the backup because Tua gets, you know, sadly, is dealing with the concussion issues. You'd think you'd back that up and find a better way to do it.
Maybe that's an issue with Miami's front office.
Maybe it is. It's just one of the most baffling things I've seen. Miami's offense just craters the minute Tua can't play.
All I know is, you know, when's the Josh Johnson era going to begin in Baltimore?
Well, where's he not played? Because that's where he needs to go next.
That's a tough question.
If there was anybody who needs to collect every single uniform, it should be Josh Johnson. That guy has got to be like the best hang in football.
How in the world did the Ravens let that be the case? That'll be changing. Todd's in Cleveland. Todd.
What's happening, Todd?
Todd, you there?
I don't know if it's Todd you're looking for, but this is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, Tom? Sorry, we can't read.
No, we can. That's the problem.
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, listen, you guys are talking about, I know it's been brought up a couple times. I mean, you've gone to other subjects, but you're talking about pre-snap penalties and putting ourselves behind the eight ball all the time. That's a coaching job, you know, a coach's responsibility. And granted, I understand line coaches and offensive coordinators and all that deal with that stuff. But when it comes down, when push comes to shove, that's Stefanski's responsibility. I don't think he gets a pass for that. They should hold him accountable when at least three times a game you're getting procedure or illegal formations set up. And the quarterback, instead of going from first and 10, is back to first and 15. You wiped out at least a third of the playbook by that penalty because your people are not paying attention to where they're supposed to be lined up, or they're not paying attention to the snap count and things of that sort. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You know what my response is to Tom? You're right.
But isn't that also on the quarterback?
It's on the entire thing.
Yeah.
This is where the head coach takes the hit on that, though. Is that reason to fire Kevin Stefanski? No. But is it truly on the head coach? Well, that's where ultimately the responsibility is going to lie on that. It's been a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, just add it to the things that have been a mess this year.
Right. It's been
startling how bad it's been.
It has been a mess from Jump Street, and it's been a mess on both sides of the ball. Even going back to the previous game of Mahmoud Diabate jumping off sides on the 1 yard line. Like, we're down to that kind of stuff. And let's face it, that's on everybody. And I know it's a lot easier to fire coaches because you can't fire the players. And I get it. But at some point, it's on everybody.
You want some comforting news?
Sure.
Browns are only tied for 26th as being the most penalized team. So there are, what, 3, 4, 5 teams that have been penalized more?
So they got that going for them.
I guess.
Which is nice.
I guess.
I got nothing.
I've watched all these penalties this year, and I've just thought, what are you guys working on in practice?
I have no idea.
What are you doing? Correct me if I'm wrong on this. This year, compared to what we've seen from Kevin Stefanski teams the last 4 years, seems so much not like a Kevin Stefanski team. You know, the penalties have been bad. The turnovers have been bad. Going into yesterday, Browns were dead last in turnover ratio in the NFL. 18 more turnovers than they're negative 18 in turnover ratio, dead last in the NFL. It just, the type of team that Kevin had his first 4 years and the things that you saw him do, not that they were perfect, but it just seems like so many of those things went out the window. Makes me wonder why. I think you nailed it earlier. In an effort to make Deshaun Watson comfortable, so many things changed. And nothing's worked.
No.
Nothing's worked. And no, it's bizarre.
And this is the problem. You built your offensive line to run elements of a zone blocking scheme. Now, we are no longer in the realm where if you're a zone blocking line, you're a zone blocking line. Everybody's kind of doing a mix of everything now. But this was not a line that was built to be out of the shotgun. This was not a line that was built with the idea that a quarterback is going to scramble and try to make things happen with their legs. They tried to retrofit it. It went to...
in a handbasket.
It fell apart. It fell apart. You built a wide receiving core that was built a little bit more on precision than anything else outside of Jerry Jeudy, who is a little bit more of a spread offense type of guy who can make things happen with his hand, with his feet, right? You tried to make that work. You retrofitted it with Amari Cooper. It fell apart.
Let me interject.
Of course.
Wide receivers never looked better than when Jameis Winston was playing quarterback.
For whatever
that's worth.
Because you had a quarterback where as much as Jameis had his flaws of throwing the ball to the other team.
Has his flaws. He's still with us.
That is correct. He will take three steps and whip it. He will take five steps and whip it. He will take seven steps and whip it.
See, that's interesting to me, though, because it took a change at quarterback to make the offensive line look better and to make the wide receivers look better.
But that's the thing. Jameis Winston is a little bit closer to what you would want in a quarterback that would fit the kind of system and scheme because they're trying to do a... You're trying to take two languages and smash them together and hope that you get something that's tangible and hope you get a language that people can speak with these offense. This spread offense and all the ideas and the idea of option routes and RPOs and all of that kind of stuff is different than what you have seen here before. And what you're basically trying to do is take German and smash it with Spanish and see if you get a language that people can understand.
Do I look confused?
Well, it's kind of because the best way to put it. It's kind of the best way to put it. You're taking one thing and mixing it with another thing. It's ketchup flavored ice cream, Jeff. Here's two things that I like. I like ketchup and I like ice cream. And if I smash them together, that's not good.
Okay.
You mind what I'm spilling?
No, it just hasn't felt like a Kevin team this year.
It hasn't.
And I wonder, is that on him? Because he let it get away from him. And if it is on him because he let it get away, then I think the Haslams have a big decision to make there.
Right.
If it wasn't on him, then I don't think there's any question to be answered at the head coach. I think he's, just keep move forward with him. I just think it's interesting because this team, and it almost makes me wonder, is that why you gave up play calling? Because this isn't what you had in mind, so because it's not your type of team, boy, and it might be more geared to something else, let that guy call those plays if it's a different style of an offense that's not Kevin's style of offense in an effort to make it work for Deshaun.
But boy, how bad does it look if your head coach is distancing himself from the team that's being put out on the field?
I don't know if it's distancing it or if it's like, wait a minute, I don't have the grasp of this offense as well as I did the other, and let's see what the guy who maybe does may. And these are all speculative thoughts.
Yeah, we're in hypothetical land here. Right. We're trying to find an answer
maybe
that would make sense.
Maybe Ken Dorsey is much more comfortable with what this offense is designed to do than Kevin is. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And maybe that's why he stepped away from the play calling duties. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if there are changes at the offensive coordinator role next year. And that's, that's an if Kevin goes back and calls plays again. It wouldn't stun me at all.
In fact,
I'd be all for it.
I'm in.
I think he did a very nice job calling plays.
I I'm with you, Jeff. I think Kevin Stefanski can coach football. I don't think he is a dumb coach. Are there things that I would do differently than Kevin Stefanski? Yes. Would I run the ball more? Yeah.
Would I think Kevin ran the ball a lot more, certainly more now.
Oh, yeah. Would I?
Although yesterday they ran it enough.
But on top of that,
it didn't work.
As I will perpetually say, if you were to turn on Kansas City Sports Talk Radio right now, you would have a bunch of people screaming about Andy Reid's play calling and clock management and all of that kind of stuff. If you turned on Green Bay Sports Radio, people would lose their mind over Matt LaFleur.
Football fans love complaining about the coaching, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Right. Twitter last night. Every single person on Twitter during that drive that Michael Penix had at the tail end to try to get him into field goal range for Riley Patterson, where all I saw was just a litany of people going, call timeout, call timeout, call timeout. Why hasn't he called timeout? He needs to call timeout. How come you're not calling timeout? Every single person, like it had to have been 100 people all on Twitter going, oh my God, Raheem Morris, does he think he can take four into overtime? What the hell? Like it just, everybody does it. Everybody questions a head coach. Every team is run differently than how you would run it, how on it run. Everybody's played Madden. We get it. Like,
I've actually never played Madden.
You would enjoy it. More than anything else, you would enjoy the fact that you could do a franchise mode and you could build a team. You would be the guy who would, and I know this because I'm the same way. You build the team and then simulate the season to get to the offseason so that you could go back to scouting and team building. Rather than actually like play the game itself. Because I've done that a few times.
That does sound like me. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.